Oh, I'm sorry. I'm keeping you from starting the show. I'm sorry.
No. I think
Amos is keeping Amos from starting the show.
Ah, shut your asshole. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 94 for Wednesday, the 7th of September, 2016. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff, whatever else comes to mind, and sometimes we get really awesome guests on this motherfucker, like this woman sitting in between us right now, Miss Jackie Hearn. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
It's been a while.
Hi, Jackie.
It's been a while, yeah.
Last time you were on the show, you made Kent look like shit by co-hosting and outshining him. I mean, I'm not saying it's hard.
That's when she performed the coup and just basically took over Ritual Misery. It was her show.
I don't quite remember that, but I will. I'm guessing that that show probably lasted 2.5 hours.
At least. Yeah. It was a long show.
It happens. Jackie, you've had a hell of a week. How would you sum up your week in a 43-sentence paragraph? I'm trying to work within your constraints.
How about two words?
Okay.
Category one.
Fair enough. So what was it called? Hermine?
Hermine, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I try not to get to know its name. I always try not to get to know it very well.
She doesn't want a personal relationship with the storm.
No. But I happen to be in the one city that actually got real bad damage. Was hit as a hurricane after it passed through here, or through where I was. It downgraded to a tropical storm. And that city, it's Tallahassee. I'll just go ahead and say that I was working. I work there a lot for Florida and the capitals there. The storm, it was like the first major storm that city had in 30 years, which is remarkable for the state of Florida because, you know, the last major hurricane to go through Florida was about 10 years ago, but there have been a lot of them. So anyways, boring story, but yeah, it was pretty bad. I was without power the entire time, and I had rented a pod to ship off stuff to California, so I had to pack up and move without air conditioning, without ice, without batteries, without pretty much anything other than charging my cell phone in the car, and there was no gasoline. So, but luckily when I realized that the storm was going to hit that night, I made sure the car that I had been using was completely full of gas so I could charge my phone as much as possible.
She didn't care about leaving. She wanted to make sure she could turn the car on to charge her phone.
Well, I mean, that was it. That was my only source of, like, is there a tornado coming this way?
Exactly.
Is there,
That's hugely important these
days. Awesome.
Yeah.
Can't you still live in Florida? How many big storms did you get hit with?
In Florida? Oh, my God. I would say at least a couple a year.
What years were you there? And I'll name them for you.
Oh, geez. Okay. I was there from 96 to 99.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So I was on the Gulf Coast.
You were on the Gulf Coast?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a little
trickier. Where Cabo is now.
So you didn't get hit by Andrew because that was 92. And that was
That was
Miami.
So that was a couple good story about Andrew real quick. The trailer park that I used to live in with my first wife, half the trailers in that park still had damage from Andrew. Like, the owners just said fuck it and they just didn't bother repairing it. So
yep.
we lived on the nice side of the trailer park. And we were in a single wide duplex. Like, that's the kind of lifestyle we were living.
Well, I mean, That's actually one of the major things about major hurricanes and earthquakes is that the recovery stage only takes a couple months, maybe a year, but the actual recovery stage, the actual from the moment to fix everything that's actually gone wrong with your infrastructure could actually take up to 10, 20 years for some of these major hurricanes. Right. Hurricane Katrina is still, we'll never be able to restore things back to the way it was. There's information about property records, jail records. There are people who were in prison that we don't fully know what they were charged for. Originally, all of that stuff is damaged and completely lost. So, like, the recovery of these things can last for decades. You know, so anyways, whatever. I'm going to really bore the shit out of people if I keep talking about it. I'm it's kind of my shop mode turning on, and I got to turn that off and turn my Jackie Hearn on.
Right.
So I went to, my twins are in high school, and we went to their high school football game this weekend.
I gotta say,
man, that is so much fun. I love high school football. For whatever reason, like, watching high school football, there's a different energy to it, and then it gets to college and I'm just completely bored with it, and then it goes to the NFL and I can watch it all day, and I don't know why that is. High school football is personal. It's not like I'm going to random schools. It's my kid's school, you know, so it's a little bit different. But Kent, you'll be happy to know, we went there to meet up with all of our neighbors, and you know where they sat? Right next to the band.
Right next to the band.
Yeah. So it was just like being back in high school, where I sat in the middle of the band.
Oh, you were in band?
No. I was in band. Kent was in band. He played trumpet. My girlfriend was in band. She played the piccolo and the flute, and I sat in between them. So, like, every game, that's where I was. So me sitting next to the band in a high school football game, it just felt comfortable. It was like, here we are.
Right? It's like going home.
Awesome.
It was good times. How about you, Kent? What'd your week entail?
Oh, God. Okay. All right. So let me get – I debated if I was going to bring this up. I'm going to bring it up. The Nation has been let's say the media has been putting out for the last couple of years, I guess, a lot about police shootings. It's a cop killing a suspect or a assailant killing a cop. And unfortunately, here in my little town, we had both occur in one incident last Friday. There was a couple of cops that were driving down the road, and they spotted a wanted felon, someone that had some warrants. So they approached him, and he took off running. So they did a foot pursuit, and somewhere during the foot pursuit, the suspect pulled out a gun and started firing. And yeah, so unfortunately, one police officer and the suspect both were killed in the incident. That itself is pretty terrible, of course, but it's really heart-wrenching for me to watch this little town deal with it, especially when you've got a small town like this. Other than the military community, pretty much everyone in this town knows everyone else. And so there are people that, that I know that went to school with both of the individuals, because they're both local, you know, they grew up here.
That's crazy.
So on one hand, I'm really proud of this town for really coming out and, you know, supporting the families and things like that. But on the other hand, there's been a lot of, hate thrown both directions. Because, you got two shattered families, trying to cope and mourn and everything else.
Every time I hear about one of these things, it reminds me that, there's three sides to every story. And each family is going to listen to their side of the story, but really the truth lies somewhere in between that nobody wants to acknowledge.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what's really... So, I mean, other than the deaths themselves, that's what's really sad to me is to just kind of watch this unfold and just watching the community deal with it. It's really, on one hand, it's incredibly interesting to watch it, but on the other hand, it's just, I don't know, all sorts of emotions with it. And I don't know. I hope everyone gets closure and everyone can find a way to move on fairly quickly from the whole thing.
Well, with such a heavy event going on, I'm sure you found a way to relax and enjoy some time with the family at least, right?
I absolutely did. So on Saturday, I had one of my coworkers come over and we did a little barbecue and decided to have a board game night.
Hmm.
Have you guys ever played? I bet the answer is no for both of you. Have either of you ever played Firefly, the board game? Or it's called Firefly the Game. It's the board game for the show Firefly.
No, but that sounds like a shit ton of fun.
I have played the role-playing game, but not the board game.
Yeah. Oh, you have played the role-playing game?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, wow. Cool.
We'll have to talk about that sometime. I had no idea that you played that.
Yeah.
No, but the board game, it puts you right in the middle of the show, basically. So you're a captain, like Malcolm Reynolds, you are a Firefly captain, and you have to basically just fly around the verse doing jobs, trying to get paid and trying to survive and try to not get arrested, try to stay away from the Reavers, things like that. It's a ton of fun, but oh my God, the setup and trying to relearn the rules itself takes like an hour because it's such a complicated board game. But once you get going, man, it is fun. I highly recommend that game. If you're a board game person, and by a board game person, I don't mean Sorry and Monopoly. I mean like a serious board game person. Right. I highly recommend this game.
Awesome.
Lots of fun.
Oh, man. How about you, Jackie? What did you do this week that that struck up the little nerd in you?
I realized how much I love technology because I had no electricity. No, I seriously thought I was going to die. I don't know, making terrible suicide, jokes, which was really inappropriate. But, and I wouldn't have done it, but it was really bad. I don't know how people could survive without electricity for more than a day. I mean, it was really hell. I remember shouting out loud when nobody could hear me, "It's only 3 o'clock PM. Cause I was waiting for the sun to go down.
Yeah.
In the meantime, as I said to you guys before, that I was charging my phone a lot, and I binged in the last week or two a podcast that I just fell so in love with. I've been, for some reasons I won't go into, I've been checking out all of the Feral Audio podcasts, and I happened across my favorite murder podcast. Main reason is one of the co-hosts is a former cast member of Mr. Show with Bob and David, of course, Karen Kilgariff. It's Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstark, and it's these two women have sit down and have a conversation about murders, and it's really funny because they've kind of made the connection. The show is now hugely popular. It's been high up on iTunes, comedy. It was a number one comedy for a while. I think it's like number 11 right now in general podcasts, but they've kind of made this connection that apparently women really like murder shows. And I used to, back in the day, I used to nag my boyfriend by watching like Forensic Files and stuff like that. And yeah. Then I started working in a job where I had to photocopy Death Row Records, not the rap group music, but Death Row Records. And
she's photocopying Snoop Dogg.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
She's photocopying Snoop Dogg.
Right.
Now, Snoop, if you could just put your ass right here on the Xerox so I can hit the button. There you go. Thanks.
Thanks. Two to the three. I'm going to press this button. Never mind. I can't. I still can't.
This button of copy.
But now listening to their show, I kind of like now I'm interested in murder again. And I think it's really fucked up. And but I know what it is. And what it is, particularly for women, is that when you listen to this kind of stuff, what you're doing is you're listening to the terrible shit that happens to people, and you think, now, if this were me, how would I get out of it? You know, what would I do differently? So anyways, but it's a lovely podcast, and I can't get enough of it, and I binged the whole thing, and I had nothing else going
just
on.
Just so we're clear, if I'm going to generalize on a sexist level.
Yes, go ahead. Men. That's what I just did.
Men, women are like, well, how would I get out of it, blah, blah, blah. Men are like, how would I not get caught?
How would I get away with it?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Well, like apparently women are like that too, according to this podcast. But yeah, that's a good connection there.
So, so I spent a good part of the weekend installing Linux on a computer, the Whisper
that
computer.
That sounds like murder.
It was actually made so much easier. Last time I messed with Linux was like 04, 05. And that was such a pain having to install each driver yourself and everything else. And the user interface was just complete crap. I installed Mint. I don't know. I can't remember what the hell it's called.
I think there is one called Mint.
Yeah.
The only Linux experience that I've had is probably about the same time frame that you were talking about, and it was with Ubuntu,
yeah,
which I think is still a popular build.
Yeah, and I got to say, man, it worked out. It worked out really well. It installed flawlessly. I went through a couple little tutorials, and it's running good. I mean, it's sitting right there. It runs fine. It actually runs a lot better than it does Windows, of course. But the whole reason I needed to install it and get it going is because I need an iTunes server and a Plex server. And I can't get iTunes to work on it, so I'm going to have to bail out and go back to Windows.
Ah, jeez.
Yeah,
oh.
I know. It's like this ultimate defeatism.
And yeah. There's no, like, you couldn't find any forums or...
There are. It's you basically have to emulate Windows, and iTunes itself will work fine, you know, through Wine or whatever, through that kind of thing. However, the part that I need it for is the store. I need to download our iTunes movies purchases so they can be stored locally and not be streamed over the internet each time you're going to watch them. And
gotcha.
I can't get the store to work, so I can't get the downloads to work. Blah 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 blah. I mean, I'm sure I could go around it and, you know, make things happen, but that's I'm past that. I'm not in the point in my life where I'm trying to hack shit together. I want to make it work and make it work well and move on with my life.
Says the man building a Hackintosh.
You know, I don't know why you're going to be choosy.
Well, cheers to you for trying.
So, speaking of murder, we should go back to this real quick.
Ooh.
I like murder. You know, my introduction to murder... was
he
a cartoon.
Like a nice murder.
Was a cartoon when I was younger.
Yeah, and... dude. Okay, so speaking of cartoons about murder, I see what you did there. By the way,
took you long enough.
God, so murder. I think murder is the theme of this episode. Unfortunately, thanks, Jackie, for no. Did you guys? I know the answer to this already. You guys watched Scooby-Doo when you were kids, right?
Oh yeah, lived it.
Such a fun show, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is my introduction to crime and pot.
Right. So the 70s and 80s version of Scooby-Doo was just fantastic, and then throughout the 90s there was like shitty versions, and then the movies came out, and it was kind of like, okay, I mean, it's kind of Scooby-Doo.
Wait. I got to disagree, man. I thought the Scooby-Doo movies, the live-action ones, were amazing.
I never saw them.
Sure, okay. Well, I did really enjoy the first one. The second one...
I'll give you that. The second one fell off a little bit, and the third one did too, but I still thought they were pretty awesome.
Wait, there's a third one?
Yeah. All right, continue. So you were saying Scooby-Doo back in the 70s was awesome. Agreed. Go.
Right. But I haven't been a huge fan of the more recent incarnations of Scooby-Doo until just the other day I was flipping through Netflix like everyone does, just scrolling. I don't know what to watch. I saw a Scooby-Doo season, and I was like, you know what, I'm clicking on it. It turned out that it was Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, which is only a couple of years old. And it is so good. It captures everything that was good about the original version of it. Like the whole, you know, we would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids and your dog. You know, that's all there, all of the goofy monsters and all of that stuff. But is a modern take on it, and it is so much fun to watch. And it is hilarious, like absolutely hilarious. All four of us will sit and watch it and just bust up. Because there's shit that goes over Isaac's head because it's too adult of a joke.
Nice.
And it, awesome. But it's still just as entertaining to probably like 4 and 5 year olds, I'm sure. Mm. Like it is so good, so well done. I'm giving another recommendation to people. If you like cartoons, like seriously, Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated. It's on Netflix.
Wow.
Excellent. I love stuff that has definite jokes for adults tied in that are not too inappropriate, you know.
Right.
When did that really start? Like, when did that hit mainstream? Because I remember, like, back in Animaniacs had tons of adult jokes.
Yeah. You know, I think Animaniacs probably started it.
Pinky and the Brain had some. If you keep going back from there, like Rugrats had some, you know, on Nickelodeon. And when did that theme start? Because I don't remember adult themed, like offhanded jokes. Maybe a little bit in like Pink Panther, like maybe the one offs in Pink Panther, something like that. You know, there's some kind of some really coy shit in there, but you had to really be paying attention to it.
I think where it really hit though was with Shrek.
Shrek the movies.
Oh,
yeah, Shrek the movie, because that movie is chock full of
Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah.
Okay, other than the title of the film.
No. Oh, my God. That was a cannabis mystery wonderland, that cartoon.
I honestly couldn't even say. I watched that when I was...
There was a whole bunch of cartoons in the 60s that were definitely, like, LSD-influenced. And, I mean, you could even kind of say Alice in Wonderland. That was a big theme back in the 60s, at least. And then it kind of, everything kind of got scrubbed down in the 80s.
Because we had He-Man. I mean, who needed adult jokes and themes with He-Man, right?
Yeah, well, like, in the 80s, though, that's when the Parents Television Council, I think is what it's called,
yes,
came out. Basically censored everything. So, like, He-Man, like, all of the He-Man characters had swords, but not once ever did a character use a sword.
Nah, fuck you, Tipper Gore.
Yeah, there was... Yeah,
I was just going to say.
There was no violence in He-Man.
No, there wasn't. And there's a lot of cartoons that are like that. There's absolutely no violence ever. And it blows... Like, did you ever see anyone die on G.I. Joe?
No, they always got out.
Yeah, they shot...
Did I ever see G.I. Joe?
Yeah, who the hell's Joe? Like...
Well, I'm a girl, so it's a little different.
She wanted to see the GI's Joe. That's what she wanted.
Oh, not at that age. All today, right. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I want to see it. Show me, Joe.
Speaking of things we like to see, we have this. Now, Jackie, you've got Tim Urban, Inside the Mind of a Master Procrastinator. Tell us about that.
Well, because I procrastinated getting ready for the show, which is why I had all the audio trouble up front, I picked one that I thought I could tie in to other things that I was posting for the show to kind of have a little theme of murder and procrastination. And I was going to tie that into the fact that I was not prepared for a hurricane when I actually teach government agencies on how to be prepared for emergencies. And so I don't practice what I preach. But anyways, this Tim Urban TED Talks was funny. The guy talked about, you know, how he would write a paper in college and wait until the last minute. And, you know, I was like, there was absolutely nothing in it that I guess I posted this not because I liked it. There was nothing in it that a true lifelong procrastinator doesn't already know. And, you know, it's the same with a lot of these kind of motivational speeches that you know, you can tell me this and I over and over. And I, the only benefit I see from listening to them is that maybe if it's drilled in your head enough, you'll follow it. But no, I know all of this stuff. I know what I know I'm supposed to be doing. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
I think it's one of those things with and we've talked about this before, Kent, with motivational speakers and things like that. It's not a matter of, you know, whether it's self-motivation or relationship books or business books. It's not a matter of telling you things you didn't know. It's a matter of representing the information in a way that clicks with you. And that's why you've got to read and experience so many of these self-help projects from other people. Because 99% of them aren't going to speak to you in your particular situation and your view on that situation. But that one that does can literally change your viewpoint, and you can walk away, I don't say a better person, but a changed person. A person with a changed outlook on something.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true, because there's been a lot of speakers that I've listened to on, well, lots of different subjects, but they'll be saying the exact same thing, but the presentation of it from one person will stick with me, where all the other ones I just kind of dismiss for whatever reason.
Yep. Exactly. Now I believe all of us. No, it's not a TED Talk. I kind of skipped out on TED Talks because I wanted to listen to this next subject. I listened to it twice, actually. I even provided feedback, like total win, right? Andrew Main, The Darker Path. Now, Andrew Main is a member of Diamond Club, so it's not like a far reach from you know, it's not so far outside of our circle. But The Darker Path came out. Well, I mean, Kent, you would actually know more about how it came out than I would. You were more a little more involved in it.
Okay, so excuse me. So Andrew Main hosts a Diamond Club podcast with Brian Brushwood and Justin Robert Young, and sometimes Bryce Castillo will fill in. And a couple of weeks back, it's probably going on a month ago now. Brian Brushwood was not able to sit in on this show. So it was Justin and Bryce, I believe, were the guests on it. And Andrew decided about halfway through the show to basically turn the episode into almost like a choose your own adventure type of thing. Because he presented a scenario to his guests and made them make choices. And then he was basically playing the role of a DM, like a dungeon master from Dungeons and Dragons, and explaining the scenario. And it turned out to be like super entertaining and just a fun thing for them to do. So Andrew got the great idea to spin it off into its own podcast. And he released his first beta, like his test run, just a couple of days ago. And Amos, this is what you were referring to, that you provided a lot of feedback and actually listened to a couple of times.
Yep. Jackie, did you listen? I'm sure you did, right?
I procrastinated to prepare for the show. And no, actually, I was in the live recording of Weird Things when they did this. And so my memory of it is a little vague, but I do remember Bryce doing a damn good job.
Yeah. Bryce is always entertaining.
Now, this is one of those things that, no, it's not a TED Talk. It's not an educational thing. But I felt
and the other thing is, when you had that listed, my first reaction was, well, of course, Andrew Main is doing a TED Talks.
It wouldn't surprise me, actually, at all.
It
was a creative venture. And I think this section that we're doing with TED Talks isn't just about TED Talks. It's about bringing creativity and understanding and sharing ideas and the whole thing behind the TED Talks. And I really felt this fit, and I thought it was pretty awesome. It reminded me of working detasseling in Indiana, where we didn't have dice, we didn't have character sheets, we just had a DM, and we had three people on either side of them, and we're all just going along, and the DM would come up with an adventure, and it was all a spoken word adventure, no dice rolling or anything else, but we just played D&D working in the cornfield. And it really had that feel to it. Really enjoyed it. I'm really excited to see where it goes. And I think it's exciting that Andrew Main intends to get a lot of fan interaction and involvement. And I'm always a fan of that. because I'm a fan. I'm a fan of fans. I'm a fan of fan things. So, any last inputs on that kind of stuff?
I encourage people to check it out. It's definitely going to be a fun thing. I only got about halfway through it before, you know, life distracted me and I didn't do it. But no, it's super cool. He's adding in, like sound effects, yeah. Like mood music, things like that.
Yeah.
Yes. And I did catch some of that. That was really nice.
Yeah. Just kind of creating the atmosphere and just making it fun. And,
I almost forgot to mention at the end of it, he goes on this little anthropology trip and talks about like where he got the idea from the story from and how what it means to our current life, like to us right now in the real world and how it can relate to that. And I thought that alone was the first time I listened to it is a little standoffish with it. The second time it fit just perfectly. It was like, yes, this is exactly where this should end up and finally be. So I thought it was pretty exciting.
Cool.
So today was a big Apple announcement, and I'm gonna forward this right now. I'm looking at you, all the fans out there that say we talk about Apple shit too much. We are gonna cut this down to one idea each. So if you had to wrap up the Apple announcement in one idea, that's not one sentence, just one idea. Kent, what would your one idea be?
Well, if I have to use one word,
not one word, just one idea.
No, I know, but this is I'm leading into it. So if I was to use one word, though, I would have to make it a hashtag so that I can squeeze multiple words in together. And it would be iPhone headphone jack gate.
Oh, Jesus.
People are pissed off about the headphone jack going away. I personally almost never use it, and I really don't give two shits.
I use it all the time, and I could easily see myself angry about this. Like, oh my God, they're taking away my headphone jack. How dare they, blah, 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 blah. But honestly, something has to come along. Someone has to come along to push us towards a new standard.
It
may not work out. I mean, every chance that the Apple is taking, you know, getting rid of the floppy drives, getting rid of the optical drives, all these things, there's a chance that it wouldn't work. But it's always pushed us, just even that little bit, towards something better. And, I mean, you could debate that on the optical drives or not, but whatever. I'm all for it. I think it's awesome. Jackie, your thoughts?
I kind of agree. At first I was kind of like, oh God, I absolutely hate when devices change, so that you can't, things are not compatible, mostly because I travel a lot and I'm going to lose my headphones. I'm not going to be able to connect. However, I absolutely agree with you that it's going to happen sometime, you know? So, yeah. I'm sorry. White people, rich, first world problems. But yeah, you're going to probably have to go out and buy a new headset if you've got the new iPhone, or the wireless headset.
Yeah.
But if I were to describe it in one, the Apple review in one statement is that's really good that you did that, because I was only able to get up to the watches and then I couldn't hear the rest of it because I had been moving all day. So the watches I'm excited about because you can swim with them. That's it. Cause I love swimming.
In a quick response to that, I've been showering and swimming with my watch for, I don't know, since I had it a year ago or whatever, and haven't had a single problem with it. However, that's it's sweet. Nice for them to increase the waterproofing enough to where I'm not nervous about it anymore.
And apparently it can track your swimming, like
right.
As far as laps.
Added GPS.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
But that's all I have to say about it. I really don't care about it one way or the other.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say that I'm kind of the same with the watch. I'm not a watch wearer myself, so it's, you know, whatever. But I am happy to see more independence going to the watch, so that it's not as tethered to the phone. I think that's a good thing. So adding the GPS and all that is that's a huge plus for it.
I'm going to sum it up in one idea. I am going to go with excitedly iterative. There's nothing revolutionary. There's nothing major on the docket. Nothing holy shit. But all the changes that they made, there was nothing that I saw that was overly superfluous. Like everything, like adding the second camera to the iPhone 7 Plus, it's awesome. That just it fits. It sounds like that's something that just natural progression of that product. All the changes to the Apple Watch. Yes, this is okay. Now this is a fully fleshed out product. Now you've added a few things and you've fancied it up a little bit. Nothing was like holy shit, but nothing disappointed either. I wasn't sitting there going, "Oh man, like oh they didn't go far enough on this." It's just like everything was, and I don't want to say expectedly iterative either. Like excitedly iterative. Like I'm happy to see it. I'm not going to rush out and buy the new shit. But yeah, I'm happy to see the direction they're going. But I didn't mean to go out and buy the 6S Plus either. I had to get it because my last phone was basically fucked up. So, you know.
Yeah.
Jackie? Can I add one more thing?
Of course.
The Pokemon Go is kind of cool, and I did see the Mario presentation.
Yes.
And I kind of thought, okay, so you could play a game that we could all play when we were kids on your phone. If I can make Mario make me a pizza and bring it to me, then I might be more impressed.
I was happy about the Mario thing, not because of the game itself, but it opens. It's Nintendo officially opening the way to having Nintendo licenses on mobile platforms. When they break out F-Zero on my fucking phone, I'm going to go nuts. When I get Zelda on my iPad, we're done. Like, I'm not going to be able to, I'm not going to be here that
done.
Weekend.
So
like, I'm not going to be on the show that week. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to be the thing.
No more show.
The Mario thing wasn't so exciting in and of itself, but what it could lead to is really,
it could lead to him making me a nice pizza.
Yeah.
It's a pizza.
Yeah, somebody's hungry. Let's take a quick break real quick to talk about geekandgamergear.com. Kent, where would you go if you needed to buy a retro controller for a new system?
That's easy, man. And you already gave it away. It's geekandgamergear.com. That's geek, the letter N, gamergear.com.
Now, why would we be pimping that? Are they paying us a bunch of money?
No.
Are they giving us free shit?
Nope.
Okay. Why would we be pimping that site then?
Well, first of all, they have all kinds of really cool, geeky, nerdy shit on there. A lot of it is very retro. And the other reason is that they're giving us teeny tiny bit of money for sales.
I was going to go with we can help our viewers get 10% off by using the coupon code Ritual Misery.
What I was leading into, that our our fans will save more money than what we make on it.
Oh,
so
definitely.
You save $10 on a thing, we might get 10 cents or something. So.
Yeah, that's essentially how it works. But yeah, geekandgamergear.com, cruise on by there. They got all kinds of cool stuff, new stuff, old stuff, retro stuff, stuff you wouldn't find anywhere else. It's actually really cool. I can't say that I haven't bought stuff there myself. So cruise on by there and do that, and use the code RITUALMISERY on the checkout and help us out, help you out. You get 10%, we get a penny or two. And helps us makes this show better. So,
yep.
I got to tell you, I've been, Kent, you were in Florida. I was in South Carolina.
Yep. That was like 2 decades ago, dude.
I don't know why you'd be calling us out on shit though. Calling yourself old and stuff, man. I don't get it.
Yeah, I wasn't even alive 2 decades ago.
Of course. Got our teeny bop.
Hey, don't laugh so hard.
So here's the thing. Kent last week celebrated his first year as a civilian after serving 20 years in the military.
Yeah.
I've been in for 21 years and a little bit of change. There are people coming in right now that were born after I joined that can legally drink.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Like,
that's disgusting.
It's a little bit odd. It really, really is.
Kids these days.
Seriously, wow. Seriously. But of all the things, even back all those years ago, we were having a discussion about EULAs, end user license agreements. And how absolutely fucking impossible they are to read.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can read the whole thing, but my God, it will take you 20 minutes on a short one.
Yeah, right. For some shareware shit. Right.
Right.
So Patreon, your friend and mine, just changed their terms of service to be readable by humans.
I read that.
Did you actually read the new terms of service?
Yeah, I saw the email message and I looked at it because I was thinking of starting one or have been thinking of starting one since 2014. Yeah. And it was pretty easy to get through, and that was very surprising.
Yeah, I wish this is like such. This is more revolutionary to me than anything at the Apple announcement.
I totally agree.
Like, why can't we? Let's. I understand there are people out there who make a living wording shit in just the specific way required by a law. Why can't we just have the normalese write some shit in English to where I can understand it, and it doesn't take me more than one episode on the shitter? Like, there's no legal contract that I ever want to sign that should take longer than a turd.
Well, and here's the thing too, though, they still have the long version,
right?
There's the short version, the human readable version that is just fantastic, and everyone should read because it takes 30 seconds to read through it. Well, okay, maybe a minute. And then they've got the full legalese version, the no kidding binding version.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But my question about it though is that. Who went through it and like verified? Like, did they have to hire a third lawyer or something, a third party, to come in and say that, okay, this is accurate?
They've got plenty of money. They've got plenty of attorneys. Yeah, those attorneys worked on that common language, that layman term language for.
To make
a couple
sure
days
with nothing in it would hold like
make Chinese takeout. Yeah, I mean, no, that's something that anybody really could do.
Absolutely.
But were you saying that they should be careful because if it's too general, then they could get in trouble?
Honestly, this is my monkey brain talking here, okay? The simple, hey, just give it to me straight, the easiest form that I can digest in the neurons that are still working up here.
All right.
Even if you give me something that is human readable, as opposed to fucking machine language, right? If you give me something that is human readable and there's more detail than that, or there are extra details, I don't care. You've given me the meat and potatoes. You give me the 80% solution. If I'm that nuanced to where I'm going to hold something, you know what? There's the legal version right over here. It's right there. You can go fucking get into legalese all you want. Here is the human readable version that is just off with you, gives you the lowdown and moves on with your life. I don't understand why we don't have more of this all the time.
Yeah, and I don't think Patreon is the first company to do this. I think I have seen something like this before, but yeah, you're absolutely right. This needs to be prevalent. Every company should do exactly this. There's no reason not to.
Yep. Jackie, what do you guys say? You got maybe a little more experience in this area, this foray, than we do.
I was checking out to see if the screen was freezing.
Thanks, Cabo, for the live feedback.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. Yes. And also, hi, David Parker. I miss you. I just to summarize the Patreon thing, since I'm not really sure where your question was directed, is that I think it was beautiful. I think it was great. I got through it quickly. I don't think that there was anything. I mean, there was one section in particular that I was concerned about as far as becoming a creator that I read into more detail. But the rest, I just read the general overview. And I loved that they had that in there. So it worked fine. I think that they covered all their bases, you know. Yep.
Hell yeah, let's make that mandatory for everybody.
And honestly, it's going to be up to you, because you are the one selecting, I click yes to agree, I agree to these terms, that if you don't go back and read that extra material, then it's on you. I don't think that there's ever going to be a case where somebody gets in trouble and they can say, well, I just read the general statement, and I didn't read into the details, and you know, so I think they've covered everything. But I thought it was great. I wish everyone would do that.
Right. Absolutely.
So I don't even know where to go for this. Like, there's so many things that I want to say right this second. First of all, months ago, I mentioned that I was working on a secret project. And we kind of stopped mentioning it because it kind of stalled out. Just too many things going on over the summer.
Your move and life change.
Yeah, like just
bad summer all around.
I got confirmation today that we're moving forward with it. It's going to be awesome. Details hopefully next week. So stay tuned for that. I know I just pulled the Johnson. Don't care. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, since you teased next week, should we go ahead and since we're going to tease, should we actually give a reveal, like some sort of a payoff, so people can look forward to next week?
Yes.
Sure. Sure. What could we possibly have going on next week that people would want to, I don't know, catch up and view? I mean, I don't like, why?
You know, I've got one concern before I make the announcement.
Okay.
I've got one concern. I think we might have to invest in some infrared cameras, maybe, because I don't know how well we're going to be able to see our guest on a regular camera.
Oh, yeah, that might be a thing.
So, Jackie, would infrared, do you think, work for someone that's invisible? Like, would you be able to see an invisible person on infrared?
No, but you could probably use a puppet.
Interesting. That
if someone was invisible, they could certainly put a sock over their hand.
What about an invisible wife?
She has several of my puppets.
Well, I've asked her about that. Bonnie Brushwood is going to be our next guest.
Oh, wait. I have a Bonnie puppet, but I didn't send it to her. But I could send it to her.
leave it to this show to remind you of things that, you know.
Oh, that thing I didn't do. But yeah, we're really looking forward to that. Bonnie.
Yay!
Bonnie for quite some time about the possibility of coming on, and it's going to happen next week. So, really looking forward to that.
That's going to be awesome. That's actually been in the works for how long, Kent? South by 2 years ago.
A year ago.
Yeah.
That's when the seed was planted originally, I think. But yeah, serious talks about it. Probably a couple of months, maybe.
Something.
I don't know.
So excited.
But it's happening, so awesome. So tune in next week for that.
Okay, this is all part. We had a couple guests on already. Cabo, who's in the chat room right now, he was on. We had Tay Allen on. Those episodes were absolute garbage, not because of the content, but because of the presentation.
because of the guests.
Yeah. Because the host can't get his goddamn audio shit figured out.
We'll never have those assholes on ever again.
Cabo, you're never coming back. What are you doing in a couple of these Cabo?
Yeah, yeah, hey,
yeah. Can you be on next October 12th?
So what are you doing on like the second week of November? So this is all part of our countdown to our episode, our 100th episode. It's gonna be awesome.
Don't go, Cabo. No, I was there for that show, and I thought it was great.
Oh man, yeah. The audio was the only problem.
Yeah, the audio was. Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, I think the majority of that show was pretty good. There were some pretty terrible audio moments. Gremlins picked and chose their moments, I think, during that.
and speaking of that episode, and since we mentioned Patreon, our patrons have an exclusive version of that episode that is the entire episode, because audio problems and all. We actually cut that one a little bit short because the audio problems in the beginning were so rough. But if you're into it and you really wanted to hear Cabo and hear the laughs that we had previous to where the edits came in, that's on our Patreon. So cruise on over there, and it takes a penny. Come on, so
dudes, I didn't know you had a Patreon.
Yeah, of course we do.
Where, and you haven't mentioned it, where can people find the Patreon?
That'd be patreon.com/ritualmisery.
Ritual Misery.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep.
Going there today.
Oh, we got like five people or three people, or I don't know how you count that, but we got big monies coming in. We got like $17 coming in. It's amazing.
Or I'm going tomorrow when my check clears. Because I just moved.
There is that.
But I'll be there.
So as part of it, we've invited some great guests to come in for episode 98, 99, 100. 96 and 97 are still a little sketchy. We hit a little patch right there. Like we had really big ideas, and let's just be honest, we're not fulfilling our desires to fit. So what we decided to do instead, we thought, you know what, there are a lot of people in chat realm.
So we'll have Jackie Hearn on.
No, that one was planned.
You were planned from the beginning.
I could work out the audio issues before.
No, see, we would have had you on episode 90 if that was the case.
I was on episode 90. No. I'm sorry.
Ken, I mean, in all honesty, man, Tay Allen was our first, like, no shit, we're ramping up to episode 100. And then we had Cabo on the following week, and Jury
Facts. Actually, it was the other way around. It was Cabo, then Tay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then we had Jury Facts.
That's right.
And now we
Richard
got
Gunn last week.
Yep. Which was an awesome show.
Yep. Yep. This week we had the wonderful Jackie Hearn.
Yep. And next week,
we already announced, is Bonnie Brushwood.
And then the week after that.
The week after, I think we're going to take a bye week, actually. Yeah. The week after Bonnie's show. Stuff going on. I've got a business trip coming up that's going to take me away. But the following week, we want to have a Diamond Club party.
Yeah. Everyone.
So, everybody get in here.
Everybody.
If you throw the diamonds, you're invited. We are going to pose an email and send it out to just about all of the Diamond Clubbers that we can think of. But we are going to put the open invite out there. We might even do some Diamond Time with that, you think?
Yeah, we'll probably throw that in there.
Probably, yeah.
That's the best thing.
It's going to be a good time. Details to come. That's 3 weeks from today.
Sure.
So we've got some planning. We've got some planning time to get it all put out there. But expect that soon. Our chat participants in particular, we would love to see you there. Past guests, Jackie, we would love to see you there.
Yeah, just don't have me on, because then you'll have actual people in chat.
Oh man.
Said from another Diamond Club B-teamer. Speaking of which, if you put stuff out on diamondclub.tv and you are not one of the main shows and you want to join our little chat group and the Slack, just hop on in. And we're going to try to throw some ideas in there, get, you know, the rising tide lifts all ships. So go ahead and just let me know. Shoot us an email, podcast@ritualmisery.com, and we will get you added to that. And we'll see what we can do as far as a corroboration and collaboration and making sure our stories match up.
Yeah, so here, Jackie, we started a new bit last show, and we're still tweaking it. We're still working out the bugs. And we've been running that same bit this episode in a slightly different fashion, actually quite a different fashion.
Yeah, totally different.
So from the beginning of the episode, we have had a list of words that we needed to harvest from the show, whether it was themes or funny things that were said or whatever, single words that we have been throwing into a document. And we have fulfilled most of the blanks that we were trying to fill, but we've got just a couple that we haven't filled. And what we're going to do to fill those blanks is ask you questions, but we need one word answers in the first thing that comes to your mind. Are you down with that? Like a speed round.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'm good. Let me take another little sip of mine.
We've actually only, how many do we have? We've only got a couple that we need to fill, right?
We got two. So the first one.
Just two?
Yep.
We did a lot better than we thought we were going to do. So,
what is the first thing you reach for when you wake up in the morning?
Cat.
Your cat?
Cat.
Okay. All right.
Because he's usually sleeping on top of me.
Okay. And when you are at dinner, regardless of what the dinner situation is, when you are at dinner, what is the most important thing to have with you?
Salt. Okay. No, wine.
Wait. Final answer is wine.
Okay. Yes, wine.
Got it.
Okay. All right, Jackie, where can people find more of the amazing Jackie Hurd?
Is that it? I don't get to hear the results.
That's going to come at the end. People know about you and where to get more of you before we give off the big payoff.
I appreciate that. Well, I would encourage everyone to please subscribe to my YouTube. I'm begging you. I will give you my firstborn child. If you can prove it. And you can go to youtube.com. I think it's just /C/Jackie Hearn. Our users /C/Jackie Hearn. I can't. Well, you just go search for Jackie Hearn on YouTube. If you can't find it, go to JackieHearn.com, and you can just follow me on Twitter @JackieHearn81 to find out about my shenanigans.
It'll be in the show notes things.
Nobody's gonna look at that. They're gonna be like, God.
Am I the only one? Am I the only one that actually looks at show notes when I listen to a podcast? I read the show notes for almost every podcast I listen to.
I do, because I tend to make sock puppet videos out of podcasts that I like. So, by the way, yeah, and that's the other thing is that I'm going to do some really good videos this time, not crappy videos. So please subscribe to them. I promise you, I won't put my fan cast up on there, so you won't be interrupted with Jackie Hearn recorded a fan cast that you don't care about. It's going to be sock puppet videos that might make you laugh, so please check it out.
Very cool. Very cool. And if you haven't seen Jackie Hearn's sock puppets show up somewhere,
they're right behind me.
Then you are obviously not a Diamond Club devotee, because that's pretty much where life is at. Hey, Kent, where can people find more of you, man?
The best place is Twitter, @RM_DelNoche. I'm always doing something crazy off the wall, whatever, trying to make people laugh or point out something that was cool. Check me out there. If you're a beer guy like me, go to ratebeer.com and check out username DelNoche and see my over 500 reviews.
Hey, did you have a review for this one right here? Because I got to say, I didn't like it when I started drinking it, this Alaskan White. But towards the end, it kind of grew on me. It wasn't bad.
I've rated some Alaskans, but I don't think it was Alaskan White. Mm. Yeah. Just go to beer.com, look up username Del Noche, and you find out.
How about this one? Did you have you ever rated the Who Dat Ju Dat? Have you ever rated that beer?
Push it up.
Loser. So you can find me at Ethan Kane on the Twitter. You can follow the show at Ritual Misery, and find all of the things that we do at ritualmisery.com. You can submit ideas, ritualmisery.reddit.com. We would love to see more ideas in there. It's such an amazing platform. We really need more interaction there. And, of course, you can email us, podcast@ritualmisery.com. And if you feel like calling, leaving us a voicemail, we will play it live on air because that's what we do. Just call 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672.
Can you repeat that number again? Please.
That's 567-698-7672. That's so good. All right.
567-698-7672.
Yes.
That sounds like too many numbers. Is that correct?
Oh, I see. You took the break and okay.
Yeah, I broke it weird.
Okay, see, you need to explain that to the people.
567-698-7672.
Does it spell something funny?
567-69-TRMPC, the Ritual Misery Podcast.
Oh, so 69.
Yeah.
See?
Okay. And then,
I'm down. That's good.
So, and it's actually like an Austin area code, I think.
Oh, sweet.
Is where it comes in at. So.
Is it really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Nice. Okay. So how are we going to do that? Am I going to read this or are you going to read it?
I read it last week. Why don't you read it this week?
Okay, so Jackie, this is the story
you helped
Cabo
us.
Cabo Pop points out that that time of the month used to do a really good ad lib show, so it's nice to see it coming back on your show. even though we stole Still in Beta, so that's fine.
It's tit for tat.
Unknowingly, though.
Yeah, no, whatever. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding, of course.
All right, so here's the story of your episode. This is really an invisible horror film because the heroine is a little 10-year-old girl played by Hermine Reynolds, who is the granddaughter of the famous old-time cat Andrew Reynolds. In this picture, she can start fires by sending complicated vibrations out of the iterative parts of her little brain. She sets houses on fire and automobiles and gremlins and burns down several details. Sure how much sense that part made, but then men from the Defense Department come and want to use her as a secret military wine. They tell her if she helps them, they will give her a new monkey to play with.
Yay!
But she is too busy charging down Tallahassee and French frying Snoop Dogg. It all comes to an end when she gives up starting fires and decides to grow up to become a cop.
Now, bonus points, Jackie. Bonus points if you can name that movie.
I wasn't really paying attention. No, I mean, I wasn't like
people
like
don't
really
pay attention to our show. So
no. I wasn't really grasping the story. I was just kind of listening to where the funny
this is where the problems come in with our
fire starter.
Yes.
Okay.
Very good.
Okay. Man. All right. So that was the amazing Jackie Herron. Of course, you can find more of this at ritualmisery.com. Hey, real quick, thank you so much to Kevin MacLeod for allowing us to use your music. Lots of podcasts use your music, and it's awesome. So, for Kent, for Jackie, for me, and for you, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Jackie, were you doing the Beverly Hillbillies? I was doing the granny thing.
I was just doing a crazy, insane woman.